For those of you who are married, and for those of you who have, as my mama would say, coded in your young days, did you ever try to do what you needed to do to try to talk to that young lady, that man? Did you ever do what you thought you had to do to get their attention? Did you ever get to a point where you were like, man, what can I do to get that? Come on. Maybe, I'm just the only one in, huh? Oh, y'all was cool. Y'all have folks chasing after y'all all the time. I get it. So maybe I'm the only one that got to a point, you know, of being desperate where I had to really chase after. To the point where I would strike deals with my mother-in-law now. She'll tell y'all that them days gone, but yeah. Psalm 1. Amen. I'm not going to do a whole lot in recapping, because if I do, we'll end up coming back here next week again in Psalm 1. So, amen. We thank God, amen, for everyone on this day. Last week, we were talking about, you know, how to be happy. And I'm not going to even quote Cicero today. But what we're going to do, though, we're going to get straight into the Word. And I just want to read again. You don't have to stand. I just want to read again just from Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. And it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his delight doth he meditate upon day and night. That he be like a tree planted by rivers of water, bringing forth its fruit in its due season. Amen. And whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. We get excited and we jump on all that. Whatever he does, the Lord going to prosper me, because, let's figure out how he prospers. Because we jump and shout, Minister Mo, at verse 3, even at verse 5 and 6. You know, we jump and shout at all that, but let's look at verses 1 and 2 as we continue our conversation on how to be happy. For those of you who missed it, you got to go back to Facebook. You can hear the message from last week. I won't get too much into it, but what I will say is this, that I believe when it says, blessed is the man, he's saying that happy is the man. Happy is the person who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So, what we're saying here is that really, truly, the Lord wants us to be happy. Yes. And I tried to argue that point on last week, which caused me to go way over in my presentation. So go back and listen to last week. Amen. So we talked about that. But what I want to do is I want to talk about that was what I call the negative argument for God wanting us to be happy. In other words, he wants us to be happy. He says, blessing them. But if you don't, so if you don't do this, you don't do this, you don't do this, you don't do this, then you're going to be happy. Y'all know how it is when we talk about being a Christian. You know, being a Christian. Well, I'm a Christian because I don't do, because I don't do, because I don't do, because I don't do. You know, so growing up, I always thought that Christians were some of the most miserable people walking this earth, because it was always defined about, well, I don't smoke. I don't drink, you know, I don't have sex out of marriage. I don't. So I began to ask the question, babe, then what can you do? Because I don't want to be a part of something that I can't just do nothing. You know, and so what they were doing, I found out, bro, was that they was defining Christianity on the negative. And you need to be defining Christianity on the positive. Because everything about Christianity is positive. Guess what? Even what you go through in life that brings you down, I'm going to prove to you today, it's still about the positive. Because the Word of God says that, hey, you know, everything works together for the good, right, of those who love the Lord. Now, he don't mean love the Lord with your lips, though. He means that love the Lord with your heart and with your life. Because the loving of the Lord with your heart and with your life is what causes you to depend on him. No matter what it is that you go through, and as you love him with your heart and with your mind, all your strength, as the Word of God says, with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your mind. He says when you do that, what you're doing is you're allowing who that person that's in you to be able to deal with the stuff that's outside of you. Because remember I told you last week, life is 10% of what? I'm sorry, 90% of what happens to you and 10% of how you respond to it. And so here in Psalm 1, as we continue our conversation, I want us to understand we're going to now talk about the positive of being happy. All right. And so he says here in verse 2, he says, but his delight, I like the word but. So he says, blessed is the man that don't walk, that don't sit, that don't stand, but, that's a good but. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate on day and night. Now, real quickly, I want to talk about my next point, because my first point from last week was, let me get my sticky notes out the way here. My first point from last week was this, that you don't walk, if we are to be happy, then we don't walk with the wicked and the world. If you want to be happy, don't walk with the wicked and the world. Knowing that we are in the world, we don't have to be of the world. We don't have to hang with the world. We have to deal with the world, but we don't have to hang with the world. And so that's what he definitely defines for us in the first verse is don't walk with the wicked and the world. Okay? Y'all got that, right? So that means that there may be some relationships you may have to change up. There may be some conversations you may have to change up. Even conversations with yourself. Not just with others, with yourself. Amen. You may need to learn how to walk how God has created you. You need you have to learn how to walk with the truth of what God says about you versus what others have said about you. So you got to change up some conversation. You got to change up who you hang out with. Okay. But not only who you hang out with, you got to change up with what you hang out with. Because you have to change your thoughts, because you can hang out with some bad thoughts. Oh, you missed that right there. See, you can be all by yourself, Sister Hattie, but you can have some bad thoughts. You can have some negative thoughts. You can have some hurtful thoughts, some painful thoughts. And so you got to learn how to quit hanging out with all those negative thoughts. Remember what I told you before, your thoughts determine your actions determine your results. But what you pour into your thoughts can help determine your thoughts. That will then determine your actions. That will then determine your results. But the question is, what are you pouring into your thoughts? See, the first verse was you're letting people who are of the world and wicked pour into your thoughts. And so you begin to hang out with those thoughts. You begin to have coffee with those thoughts. You begin to drink with those thoughts. You begin to just sit with those thoughts. And as you begin to sit with those thoughts and hang out with those thoughts, then those thoughts begin to become your actions. And as a result of your actions, then what happened is where you are right now as a result of the decisions you made because of the actions that you did, because of the thoughts that you thought. So he says in verse 1, if you want to keep doing that, then keep doing this. But if you want to change, if you want to change, you want to change your thoughts? Oh, you want to? Okay, let me hold. Let me close my book up and go on home because I ain't heard nothing. Maybe you want to hang with that stuff. I'm just asking a question. Man, I can go home and me and Jesus can be by ourselves. I'm just trying to help you be happy. What say? Be happy? Wait. Don't worry. Be happy. All right. Okay. All right. So don't walk with the wicked and the world. But then secondly, and listen, this is my last point. I only had 2 points. Remember, I told you I only had 2 points. The second point is, if we are to be happy, we are to desperately wait in the word and worship. We are to desperately wait in the word and worship. I'm just doing a dramatic pause. I want you to write that down. Because to be desperate, not in a sense of, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, but to be desperate in the sense of, I need my God, I need my God. You didn't get that. See, I'm not talking about being desperate in the sense of you just it's got to happen because it you know because this has happened to me. Desperate in the sense of I know that I can't do it without him. Yes. Yes. Desperate in the sense that there is no one else that can get me where I need to be but him. Desperate in the sense that there is nothing else outside of me that can help me get to where I need to be as a man and or a woman of God and to be happy. In other words, desperate in the sense to understand that I don't care how much money I make, how many folk I know, how powerful I get, it doesn't matter how many friends I have outside of me, because none of that is what's going to really truly make me happy. What's going to make me happy is when I become desperate for looking and desperate for following after my God. Yeah. And here's the good thing, because when you're desperate for it, he said, hey, I'm already right here. Yeah. But he said, I need you to get to that point where you realize you can't make it without me. See, I could tell it was a whole lot of folks that really wasn't desperate for him this morning because, you know, we didn't have no music. We didn't have no piano. We didn't have no drums. We didn't have no organ. And so when they began to sing their songs of praise, I'm just saying.
Hallelujah.
There's a scripture in Psalm where David says that my heart overflows with a good thing.
Yes.
I like that. And I'll probably get to that one of these days too. But he says my heart overflows with a good thing. But that comes from him hanging out.
Amen.
With the Lord.
Yeah.
Without the instruments.
Yeah.
It was just because it was the Lord who made melody in his heart.
Yeah.
And the instruments just came along and just increased what was already there. Oh, you missed that right there. Okay. But you got to be desperate. We're not desperate. Let me see if I can make it real plain. I got time because y'all only saying about a good 10 minutes. So I've got a few minutes. Yeah, y'all know. Well, let me see. For those of you who are married, and for those of you who have, as my mama would say, coded in your young days, did you ever try to do what you needed to do to try to talk to that young lady, that man? Did you ever do what you thought you had to do to get their attention?
Yeah.
Did you ever get to a point where you were like, man, what can I do to get that? Come on. Maybe, I'm just the only one in, huh? Oh, y'all was cool. Y'all have folks chasing after y'all all the time. I get it. So maybe I'm the only one that got to a point, you know, of being desperate where I had to really chase after. To the point where I would strike deals with my mother-in-law now. She'll tell y'all that them days gone, but yeah. But there's a point where we have to realize that at the end of the day, that we have to realize that can't nobody get us where we need to be and make us happy like God wants us to. Except for him. And so he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight, his desire, his ability just to be, to desire deeply and strongly the word of God. So I said we must desperately wait in word and worship, right? Yeah. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about that term wait because, First Lady did an excellent job a couple of weeks ago on, it was called While We Wait, correct? While We Wait, out of Psalm 37:7. And y'all know, my mind just gets to running. And when she read Psalm 37:7, I was thinking, and she began, and that becomes a very dangerous thing sometimes for me. I think too much. But I saw, I'm saying, when it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, right? And then I looked at verse 9 where it says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord. And even though that term wait is the same English word, it was two different Hebrew words. And of course, my mind got to rolling. I'm like, okay. He says, they that wait on the Lord. He says, first he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. So that term wait, so y'all stick with me. I'm going somewhere with this. So y'all kind of hang in there with me because I'll be done in a few minutes. That term wait, I had to look it up because that term wait gave you the mindset of something being twisted. And as a matter of fact, I had to look, he said it means to turn in a circle. And it gives you the picture of being in labor. Okay, so men, y'all don't get that, but women, y'all know what kind of pain you get when you are in labor, right? I mean, I could only see it. I couldn't feel it. But in other words, there's a pain. He says, so they that wait on the Lord, he says, rest in the Lord. And he says, and wait patiently. In other words, that first term of wait, it means that there is a pain that you are going through. There's a pain that is twisting you up in knots. There is something that you are dealing with. But he's saying, but rest in the Lord and then wait. In other words, sit in that pain. Sit in that labor. I'm going somewhere with it, so hold on now. And sit in that labor because there's something that's happening while you are in labor. Because usually after labor, a child is born. After labor, something is going to be born. But he said, but when you rest in the Lord and you are in laborious pain, in other words, there's something that's going on that you don't even know about. And they're saying rest yet. But then he says, he goes further and he says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait, that term means to be tied to be, in other words, it gives you the mindset of the strapping something to something. And that term it says that you will bind together and you will bring together. In other words, it says when you wait in the Lord patiently as you rest in him, that pain that you're going through, you will bind that pain. Don't miss this. You will bind that pain to him. And as you bind that pain to him, then he's going to bring forth the delivery that he wants to bring forth out of that pain that you have gone through. Because you rested in him as you go through the laborious pain and you've tied it to him and you've given it to him. And as you've given it to him, then he's going to bring delivery of what it was that you were going through that pain for. And you don't even know what it is. Sometimes it just simply is rest in him and wait on him and he's going to bring it through. But if you don't know that.
Somebody ain't understanding this thing.
So we must desperately wait because we don't know what God is doing. We don't know what God is taking us through. We don't know, but if we don't trust him, we don't wait on him, we don't rest in him, we don't trust him. So you must wait. But here's how you wait. You wait in the word. You got to tie yourself. You got to tend to yourself. You got to wrap yourself up in the word of God. And as the word of God goes forth, both written and prophetic in your life, then he said, I'm going to bring forth that baby that I want to deliver because you decided to trust me. Yeah. But if you don't meditate, if you don't delight in the law of the Lord, you won't know what God is trying to do, because only the Word of God can tell you who God is and reveal to you who God is and even show you what God is going, what you are going through, and then tell you to trust in God even though you don't see what He is doing.
Power.
Desperately wait in the Word. See, I know y'all laugh at me, especially Zoe, because y'all know I have all these little crazy definitions, you know. And so I was talking on a Wednesday night about the definition, my definition of disciple. And it's a bunch of big words. I get it, but just hang with me on this one. You know, when I said it, because I mean this at the very core of my being, because see, a disciple is one who follows hard after God. Uh-huh. Not a Christian. Right. A Christian loves God. And most Christians are okay with where they are.
Right.
They're not trying to grow in God.
There we go.
A church member may or may not even be saved. They come and hang out at church. and they get their full at church, but by the time they get to the doors, they're empty already.
Yes.
So you don't want to be a church member only.
Right.
And you really don't want to simply be a Christian only. But you want to become a disciple.
Yes.
Because here's what a disciple is. Now, I'll read it real slow to you. See, a disciple, Pastor Hargrove's definition is one who intentionally and intimately internalize the Word of God. I'm saying it real slow, purposely, and implements its instructions with integrity.
All right.
So that he may walk in the freedom. Say one again, so that he or she may walk in the freedom, in their freedom to the glory of God. I'm saying it one more time, because I'm going somewhere with this, so keep following me. So a disciple is one who intentionally, intimately internalizes. You are intentional about it, and you are becoming intimate with it. That's the meditation of which we'll talk about in a minute. And you are then also internalizing this thing called the Word of God. And you are now going to be intentional about implementing this Word, its instructions in your life with integrity. In other words, with integrity simply means that you're not going to try to replace your Word in His Word, but you're going to replace His Word over your Word. See, that means that you're going to see what the Word says, and you're not going to try to change the Word of God, but you're going to be changed because of the Word of God. That's implementation with integrity. You're not going to try to dilute the Word like we always try to do. And you do that so that you will walk in the very freedom and deliverance that it brings to the glory of God. And so when I say that you will desperately wait in the Word as the disciple, you're going to attach yourself to the Word of God. You're going to intentionally and intimately internalize that Word, and then you're going to implement it with integrity, because you know that at the end of the day, the only thing that can help change you, the only thing that can help deliver you is the Word of God and nobody else's Word. But then I said, you know, you walk, I mean, you desperately wait, you know, while you're going through some stuff, and you're literally tying that to the Word of God in your life, you know. And I say that, and just know that as disciples, we are to, and this is something that you can remember, you can walk away with easily, that we are to learn, to love, to live, lift, and leave the Word of God. And you are to learn it, then as you learn it, you will love it. You can't help but to love it. And then you will live it because you love it, because you've learned it.
Yes.
And then you will lift it because you love it.
Yes.
Because you've lived it and you've learned it. And guess what you're going to do? Because you see it so great, you're going to leave it for those coming behind you.
All right.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
All right.
So they can be happy.
Yes.
Oh, I guess I'm not. I'm not getting through. Maybe I had a hard weekend. But so it says, so and I'm just explaining my point. I haven't even gone down to the sub points of it yet, but we'll get to that. And so desperately wait in the word and worship. Now, let's go here. Let's go here. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night.
Yes, yes.
That term meditation, that is a part of worship. You do know that, right? See, because worship is not us coming up here, you know, and singing and y'all getting happy. That's only a part of it. But true worship comes when it's you and God face to face. You can't come face to face without the Word of God, and you can't come face. And if you don't have the Word of God, you can't meditate upon the Word of God. You must learn how to meditate on the Word of God. Let the Word speak to you, and you shut up sometime because God is trying to reveal something, and God is trying to show something to you, and God is trying to grow you where you are. And most of the time, we get in God's way because we always talking and not listening. God is saying, shut up sometimes, and I will lead you and direct you where you need to go. And all you have to do is trust me enough to walk in my word. Meditate. Y'all, you already heard me, you know, give the definition of meditation, to chew on. It means to chew on, but it also means it gives you a picture of soft music always playing, you know, in the background. Now, I'm giving you a quick example. Yesterday, you know, some of y'all came, some of y'all didn't, but that's okay. I forgive you anyway. Y'all came to my little fundraiser. And so in my little fundraiser, I decided before people got there, but I decided what I was gonna do is I was gonna set the tone. Thank you, set the atmosphere. So, and I began to set the atmosphere, Miss Chelsea, because I began to play some soft jazz music in the back.
All right.
And as they came, they began to get relaxed. Because you know you gotta have people relax, because when you're gonna ask them for something, they gotta be relaxed. And so I set the atmosphere with the jazz. You know, and we had conversations while the music was playing low. And I let it play low for a good hour. And so I began, and then so I got up to talk about, you know, what I needed to do and what I needed from them. You know, they was all relaxed. They was all ready to go. They was all ready to receive what I had to say because the music was playing in the background.
All right.
And it was getting to them because it was going through the ears and getting to the subconscious just to relax. See, that's what meditation is. This term to meditate means that you take the word of God and you read it enough to the point where it becomes that music in your ears, in the background, slow, low. And many times you begin to hear, and you don't even know it's playing sometimes, because the more you read the word of God, the more you begin to study it, the more you begin to really pray it, it becomes a part of you. And what happens is the meditate becomes to the point where it begins to be some music playing low. In your ears. And it begins to take your, and it begins to, you know, formulate your heart. Because of the theme, because of the melody of the song. You're missing this thing. He says they delight because he meditates on his word day and night. In other words, he allowed the word of God to be able to speak to him day and night, even at a low tone sometimes. He said the word of God speaks to him day and night because he knows he needs the word of God day and night. You want to be happy? Meditate on the word day and night. You want to be happy? Desperately wait in the word and worship, you know, because what God is saying is that if you wait in the word and in worship, my worship, when you worship me, he says, what's going to happen is I'm going to show you a different me every time. Because when you come to me needing something, I'm going to show you I can be that what you need me to be. That's why we call it Elohistic worship. In other words, we call it Elohistic worship because we said that what Elohistic worship does is it allows Elohim to inform your emotions, and you get high off of Elohim's word versus you coming in and then and allowing your emotions to push him down. What you do is you allow him to lift you up. Whatever you are going through in life, if you have Elohistic worship, what Elohim does, he says, I'm going to inform your emotion. And yeah, you you can cry. Yeah, you can loud. Yeah, you can jump. Yeah, you can shout. You can do all these things, but you're doing it based off of how I have informed you of how I'm going to contact and how I'm going to deal with you wherever you are with whatever you are doing, because I'm telling you what you need to do, and I'm telling you who I am. His delight is in the law of the Lord. That word law, instruction, doctrine, his delight is in the word of God. And in his word, he meditates day and night. He is going to be blessed. He's going to be blessed. Because at the end of the day, what Elohim is going to do, because he's informing your worship, he is informing you of who he is, he's going to tell you that my name really is God. It's Elohim. Yeah. And, you know, and I was listening to, you know, an old song that we used to sing as young adults, you know, in the young adult choir back in the day, back at Second Baptist. And as a matter of fact, Ed used to sing the song, and I love this song, it's called God Is. But see, I don't know that God is if I don't know who God is. And so I won't know who God is until I go through something, and then God shows me who he is. And see, so he says, God is my protection. I love it. So when I'm in trouble, he is my protection. Then she goes and says, God is my all in all. In other words, God is more than anything that I could ever be or need. He is my all in all. God is my light in darkness. Don't miss this here. God is my joy in time of sorrow. God is my today and my tomorrow. God is the joy and strength of my life. He moves all pain, misery, and strife. It says he promised to keep me and never to leave me. He's never come short of his word. I'm going to fast and pray, and I'm going to stay in this narrow way. I got to keep my life clean every day because I want to go with him when he comes back. I've come too far. Yes. They missed that. Nothing to miss it. I've come too far. Yes. And he says, and I'll never turn back. Yes. Because he is my delight. Thank you, God. And because God is my delight, I can be happy. Yes. Even though the external stuff messes with me. The internal God is with me. And though the external stuff happens, it's just like going on a deep sea dive. It says the deeper you go, the more pressure that comes. But if you're in a submarine, there's so much pressure in the submarine that the pressure in the submarine keeps the pressure on the outside from crushing you. The question is, what do you have on the inside? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his delight does he meditate. Y'all, two simple points. Two simple points. As I take my seat, two simple points. Don't walk with the wicked in the world, but be desperately waiting in the word and in worship. I guarantee you, you're going to have way more happy days. You will have sad days. Guarantee you. Because when you do get sad, if you meditate on his word, get back to him. He's going to show you that he is whatever you need him to be in that very moment that you're with him then. He's going to show you he's bigger than what you're going through and what you're dealing with. He's going to show you. I'm done, but one last scripture I want to leave with y'all. I pull these up. In Psalm 119, verse 116 says, uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope in you. Yeah. We all have hope as long as we allow him to live in us. Yeah. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't walk with the wicked. But desperately wait in the word and worship.